The convention theme this year, celebrating our past and preparing for the future. As most of you know by now, this is LMA's 50th anniversary, so we consider the event to be a very special one. And we've put a lot of time and preparation into going over, you know, what got us where we're at today, what made us a successful organization. But in my mind, if you spend too much time celebrating your past, you probably won't be prepared for the future. So you'll see in the events of this week, we're going to concentrate very, very heavily in trying to look forward into, as an association, what we need to be doing to protect our interest in the industry and to make our businesses continue to thrive. One of the things that we've done, we started last year with a new focus group, and we've pulled members and non-members from around the country, people who are very instrumental and very significant in our industry, and we pulled them together and just gotten them to brainstorm. What can LMA do? What do we need to be doing to stay ahead of everybody out there that's trying to take our way of life away from us? And I sat in that focus group yesterday afternoon for 4 hours, a couple more hours this morning. A lot of great ideas come out of that, and what we'll do with that information is we'll take that information, we'll go to our Government and Industry Affairs Committee and our Membership Services Committee. We'll let those groups work through that and then come to the board with some resolutions or some suggestions for where they would like the leadership of this organization to go. So some of the things we talk about, and one of the key questions, you know, when we got done with our focus group this morning, the question was, what is the one big thing out there that seems to be haunting us all, or what do you think the number one issue is? And a gentleman at the end of the table said, simply, how do we comply with all the regulations? And so we're going to spend an awful lot of time on that the next couple days. Those of you on the committees and groups, we're going to work your tails off. We're all here. It's the time to get the work done. So during the day, we're going to work very diligently at this task. In the evenings, we'll enjoy the social events and take our summer vacations. So that's what we're going to be asking of you as we go forward. Just a couple staff updates. Nobody's seen Nancy Robinson in the halls this week. Nancy was on our staff for 23 years. Nancy retired. We are continuing a relationship with Nancy in a contract role. She's doing some work behind the scenes. We're very, very fortunate to have hired a very bright and energetic young lady, Chelsea Good, to replace Nancy on the staff as our Vice President of Government and Industry Affairs. Chelsea's up here on the front row beside Mark. Those of you who haven't met her, acquaint yourself. She's doing a really, really good job, and we're going to lean on her very heavily over the next few years. Ernie Van Hoosier, probably with all the things that's going on in our industry, everybody in the room has talked to Ernie several times over the last year. If you haven't had that opportunity, Ernie, are you in the room? There you are, over here in the corner. Ernie has been very gracious to provide LMA with a considerable amount of his time over the last year. He's here for the duration of the convention, able to answer your questions. Between Ernie and Chelsea, they're taking up a little of the slack. We no longer contract with Charlie Stenholm to do our DC consulting work, and these two individuals are covering that area and doing that for us. We did have one of our REOs, our regional executives, that left the association in the last year, Jeff Azalius. Could see how profitable and how good it was to own a livestock market. So Jeff has gone on to run a livestock market in Duran, Oklahoma. Very pleased to have Corey Schultz take that position. Corey's in the back there. Corey's region includes Missouri, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. So if you're in those areas, if you've not yet met Corey, get yourself acquainted with him. He'll be coming by. And if we can't keep him busy covering those six states, we'll find something for him to do in the office. So we're going to make sure he earns his check. On the communications and marketing side, we have a a recent hire there as well, Lindsay Graber. Lindsay, are you in the room? Right there on the back as well. She's going to be handling our duties as the Director of Communications and Marketing. It's just Lindsay's second week on the job, so we're throwing her under the bus. First thing, she's doing an excellent job and fitting in very well. We're glad to have her. A couple guests that are going to be with us today and throughout tomorrow. Very, very important resource people for us. Number one, Neil Hammerschmidt. Neil is the program manager of USDA's Animal Disease and Traceability Program. As everyone knows, LMA was very, very instrumental in building the framework for the National Animal Disease Traceability Plan as it's written as a federal rule. And Neil is the one that's in charge of carrying that program out. The rule did go in effect on March 17th of this year. Up to date, we don't have, I guess, a solid date on what day enforcement will begin. The program, we're just going to have to feel our way through it. For some of you states out there, the plan was no change at all. You were already doing all of the requirements needed to meet ADT. For other states, it's a big pill to swallow, and we understand that. One of the challenges with being a national organization and trying to represent everybody is the fact that there's so much diversity among our group. I mean, there's a lot of diversity within the states, and to try to get a framework or a program that's appropriate, that works for all 50 states, is a huge, huge task. And I think that's part of the reason why this framework was written such that the states were able to do their own thing to try to comply. But, of course, coming, you know, with that, you have, for us, those of you who have markets that are close to state lines that maybe deal with three or four states on a weekly basis with your markets, we realize it causes a great deal of heartache and grief for you because you've got to know the requirements of all of those states to comply with your business. So just want you to know that LMA will continue to be there. Just because the rule is instigated doesn't mean that we've turned our back on ADT. We realize we've got a lot more work to do ahead of us, and that's where we're headed. A year ago in California, whenever I stepped on the podium to accept the role as your president for the next 2 years, I challenged this group to be proactive. We talked then about how we let some of the issues in the past, the lean, finely textured beef, the BSE cases, we let those sneak up on us and cause the industry a great deal of grief. And obviously, if you can be proactive and see what's coming before it gets to you, you can react in a whole lot better way. So a lot of the things that I've just talked about, the programs that we consider priority one and priority two for the coming year and the rest of my term, are geared at just that. We've already touched on the animal disease traceability issues. As I said, it was implemented on March 17th. One great victory that we did get out of that is that feeder and stocker cattle are not part of the rule as it's written. In order for the feeders and stockers to be included, it will require a separate rulemaking process. With that, a separate comment period, so we'll get our chance to address those issues as they come along. Once again, we're working very diligently with the states. If there's a state or a region out there that feels like that we're letting them down or that we're missing them on the radar, that's why we're here. We need to know. We want to represent all of you equally. In the issues of animal handling, this issue started a long time before I came along. But we have progressed very rapidly with how seriously we're handling the animal handling issues. As of this morning, we're 80% complete with the animal handling assessments of your individual markets. I want to thank you very much for complying with our request to do so. I will remind you again, those of you who haven't been able, and it may not be that you haven't been available. Maybe we haven't gotten to you yet. We're working our tails off at getting it all done. But, you know, we did pass a resolution through LMA to make membership for your membership is a requirement that you undergo an animal handling assessment. Since a year ago, the stakes have gotten even higher. Some of the other competitive meat industries are finding that it's not just enough for them to police their own, but some of these retailers are requiring a third-party assessment. One of the things that we have done, a pilot project, and we've been in just a couple markets, but we've entered into an agreement with a third-party assessment group who has a lot of experience working with the competitive meats out there on these third-party assessments of their animal handling. And we're very much in the infancy stages of that. We do have a couple markets under our belt. We really haven't even had time to assess that with the board and to see where we stand. But it's something we're going to have to continue to pursue and look at in the future. A big topic as you go through the halls this weekend are going to be what we consider maybe necessary or long overdue changes in the PNS code. Ever since I've been a member of the association, you know, we've walked around and talked about, well, the code was, or the statute was written in 1921. The last time any revision or update was made in that of any significance was 30 years ago. Those of you who, if you'll think for just a moment, how our industry's changed just in the last 3 or 4 years, it's pretty easy to see why the industry is feeling that 30 years without any significant change is way too long. My thoughts are we've walked around and talked about it long enough. Let's find out if we can do something about it. So one of the tasks in our focus group yesterday afternoon was to begin to compile a list of the items or the things that we think should be updated or should be changed to fit the industry today. I urge all of you to, even if you're not on the focus group, which most of you aren't, pass your ideas along to us. We've had our REOs going out there trying to gather up information prior to this convention. We need to know what issues are out there, what problems you're having in complying with the regulators that regulate our industry. We need your input at this meeting. 3 weeks ago, I made a trip to Washington, D.C. With Chelsea, with Ernie Van Hoosier, and with Jim Santomasso, our Government Industry Affairs Committee chairman. We got to spend a couple hours with the administrator, with the policy and litigation person of PNS. We had a very constructive, very good discussion about the need, and I won't speak for them, but I'll say that they seem to be in agreement as well that there are things that we can do to update this to make it better. We're looking forward to working with them to see that happen. I'll make some more announcements later. Brett Offit from Packers and Stockyards is here and available. We'll have a booth. Talk through some of your issues with him. Let's get this out, and we got to know what is priority one. What do we need to be doing? Because guys, out of that focus group, 4 hours that we committed to that topic yesterday, we have pages of ideas. Some of which would be statutory changes. Some of which would be policy or regulatory changes. There's a whole lot of difference in what you can and cannot get accomplished, but we want to start somewhere. So that's kind of where we're headed for the next 2 days. That's the direction that I intend to lead the association for the next year. Cattle movement requirements was another topic that we brought up with the ADT rule being implemented. It's going to be more and more important that we're aware of what requirements are out there to move these cattle from state to state. We're going to look very seriously at some form of a database, maybe a spot on our members-only website maybe possibly work in conjunction with the American Vet Med Association, help them to gather that information up for us. And it's something we touched on it very briefly in the focus group this morning, but it perked a lot of interest up. So as we throw these ideas out, tell us which ones you think. We obviously don't have the time, the resources, the manpower to address every issue out there that's burning. We need you to help us prioritize so that we can spend our time wisely.